Numbers and Tech Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. Numbers and Tech Podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom-branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide-format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hi, I'm Melissa, and this is the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Every entrepreneur has a story. Listen to women discuss the financial side of their business, both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Hello, everyone. This is Melissa, and I have Randall with me again today. And we have just returned from a vacation overseas, and that prompted me to think about our business, tech, and how we handled it all. And so I wanted to bring Randall with because he was immensely helpful in making sure everything was set up correctly. For us, our personal goals were to always spend longer periods of time in other countries so that we could immerse ourselves in the local culture. So even though we were away on vacation, we still did some work because we were gone, about 4 weeks? So this presented some tech challenges on its own. And I think it was, back in 2014, we left New York and traveled, 25 states over 5 months. And we both worked as we did that trip. And tech has changed, of course, in 7 years. And this time we were overseas. So even though technology empowers us to work from anywhere, and more people are choosing to do their business remotely, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. So I think we're going to dive into, Randall, I think you've got, four or five different topics for us today?
I do, and I think they're all pieces of the same thing. And I want to be clear also that we're not advocating you work while you're on vacation. The reality is we were gone for a month, and the point of us being gone for a month, as we try to do a month a year out of the country every year, is to be able to just maintain our regular lifestyle, maintain some work and have that mix, but to do it in a more location independent way. And I think this lends itself to many of our friends that are enjoying extended van lives right now. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we hear this term like digital nomads. It's just that sense of being able to spend extended periods. And I think we're going to see this more as time goes on with people working remotely. How do I continue to just work and be remote and be wherever I want to be?
Mm-hmm. So it's not all sunsets and pretty Instagram photos as we're in far off fabulous places.
Well, most of it.
We're actually getting some work done too.
That's true. But let's dive in, because I think this runs down a few pretty simple, I divided it into four areas that I think are important to maintain. So let's talk about the phone. The reality is some phone plans work overseas. More than not, they claim to work overseas and don't. And I think we see that. I think everyone's had that experience.
Not just overseas, but within our country too.
Some claim to work and they don't. The others are just very expensive. And I know one of our friends has a phone plan and he's like, oh yeah, it works fine overseas. But if I get a phone call, it's $3 a minute. So it's very interesting to see. So, you know, some of those plans will work is what it comes down to. I think the reality is the thing that we tend to do, though, is we tend to just get a SIM card in whatever country that we've been in.
And we've done that in quite a few countries now.
We did the list this morning. We've done that in 10 countries. So Mexico, Chile, UK, Turkey, Italy, Spain, Slovenia,
Belgium,
Nepal. I can't remember the 10th one, but we've done that in 10 countries.
And Germany,
that's right. And it works well. It actually works very well. It's very simple to do, like to get a SIM card. Almost all the requirement is that your phone is unlocked. Now, this used to be a big deal back when phones were integrally tied to the company that sold you the phone and the plan that goes with it and all of that. Mm-hmm. That's not so much anymore. Most phones are unlocked. So it's something to check, but for the most part, your phone will be unlocked. If you bought your iPhone and then you got your plan through T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T or whoever you have, your phone will be unlocked.
So where do you get the SIM card?
Ah, SIM cards. You can get a SIM card at any phone store. I've kind of laughed at how many times we've gotten Vodafone SIM cards in Europe. Mm-hmm. Or you can get them at most gas stations overseas. So depending where, I know in Chile, I got our SIM cards at a Quickie Mart. So they're available pretty commonly.
Airports oftentimes too. I think we've done a few times at the airport, but sometimes that can be more expensive.
The airport has a tendency to rip off travelers. So for what it's worth, I tried to not get stuff at the airport. Mm-hmm. On this trip, it was interesting. We got at Vodafone a 50 gigabyte data card in Italy. It was $30 and included an Italian phone number. I blew through all 50 gig of mine and then had to get another SIM card, and I got a 25 gig SIM card in Slovenia, which was 21 euro, so around $25. So just depending on kind of where you go, that's generally what they run. You need to monitor your data usage. I blew through 50 gig of data because I was not watching is what it comes down to. So again, I'll preface this with I'm very familiar with the iPhone world and the Apple environment. I'm not familiar with Android, but in Apple, it's pretty easy. If you go to your cellular data, just go to general cellular, look through what is enabled for cellular data. The truth there is turn off your social media, turn off things that stream data through, don't watch television or movies on your phone across your data connection. Those will eat your data up. In order to check exactly how much data you've used, you have a couple options. Vodafone had an application. If you put the app on your phone, you could track how much was in there, and you can always do that and sync it up and all those things that go with. But the reality is, at the bottom of that page, general, cellular, scroll to the very bottom and mash the link that says reset statistics. If you reset the stats, then anytime you come back, you'll see exactly how much data you've used. The important thing there is you just need to track it.
And one thing that I thought was interesting is if no one's ever changed the SIM card in their phone, they're probably like, wait, back up. How do I even do that? And on an iPhone, it's that little tiny round hole on the side.
If you're looking at the face of your iPhone, turn it to the right and you'll see below the volume buttons, you'll see an oval embedded into the edge of the phone. At the bottom portion of that oval is a little circle that has a detent in it. You need something skinny to poke into that detent, and then it pops out and the SIM card is in there.
So back in the day, you know, when we had papers and paper clips, that was easy.
Yes.
So the MacGyver in me uses the back of my earring.
Use your earrings to poke those out very commonly.
It's easy to do anytime as long as you're wearing earrings.
That's correct. I think sometimes you select earrings based upon when we need to get to SIM cards on the phone. Changing the SIM card is very easy. You can always, for the things that you don't want across cellular data, right, use those only on Wi-Fi. And so there's a lot of free Wi-Fi available We find it at airports all the time. Now, you know, there's always the concern of security. Remember, if you're on a Wi-Fi network with other people, you're sharing a local network with those people. If you go to the airport, log on to the airport Wi-Fi, I do not recommend you do banking transactions. That's not a good idea.
But so, if you're just getting on Instagram or checking your emails.
Right, exactly.
Then, and you can find a lot of free Wi-Fi at coffee shops, libraries, government buildings, hotels.
That's true. And especially overseas, there's a lot of Wi-Fi at establishments. You sit down to have a coffee or you sit down to have lunch or have a snack someplace and pick up your phone and look. I mean, there's commonly a Wi-Fi network that matches the name of the place, and ask the server, you know, what's the Wi-Fi password, and you'll wind up with Wi-Fi. So that makes it pretty simple. Once you, you know, once you have like a SIM card in your phone or you have Wi-Fi, of course, you have a hotspot, so you can always use your phone as a hotspot at that point to manage your connection. So that, that kind of takes care of the phone, right? The biggest thing is add a SIM card, great, but watch your usage. So, and I think we are pretty detuned to the amount of data that we use, largely because all of us have Wi-Fi at home, and most of the point in time you go home, your phone hooks up directly to the Wi-Fi, you don't think about it, and it's just an open door on data. All right, communication. So remember that your U.S. number may or may not work overseas. And I know that's kind of not helpful. It's plan dependent. If you change your SIM card, your number will not work. You had a local Italian number. I had a local Slovenian number. So we have different numbers in the phone itself. So when that happens, it now comes down to, okay, how do I get messages? How do I get phone calls? Messages iPhone to iPhone are via data, so they're not across the phone network. So what that means is those will continue to work. iPhone to Android will fail because those are across the actual cellular network themselves. There's nowhere to deliver it when your phone number has been disconnected for the time frame before you put your phone, your normal phone card back in. Will you get those messages when you put the card back in? That's going to be a provider-by-provider basis. Some yes and some no.
I did get my voicemails when we put my U.S. SIM card back in. I came back and I had voicemails.
Yes, I have Verizon and I came back and had voicemails, but I did not get any messages in the interim. So, solutions. How do you get around that? There are a large number of applications that will circumvent that problem for you. And what they do is basically data or IP-based texting. And this is things like Telegram, Slack, WhatsApp, all of those can circumvent that. So to the extent that you already use those, it's pretty simple. I know we have a big Telegram group, and so
there'd be no interruption of communication that way.
None whatsoever.
Regardless of the SIM card.
Right. Phone calls. So to make phone calls, and you know, let's put this on a business basis, it's fine to make a phone call directly from your phone. We do that all the time when it's convenient. To the extent that you are overseas or to the extent that you want more of a history on your calls, things like Zoom, FaceTime, Google Meet, to use that as probably a better habit to get your clients in as well. Because then when you're overseas, you're using technology everyone's familiar with. So, and it's not the first time.
Right. And that was just, I use Zoom overseas just like I did in the U.S. So there was nothing different to my clients. Many of my clients didn't even know I was gone.
Right. Of course. And if bandwidth is low, turn the video off.
Just do an audio.
Just do an audio call. All right. We're going to talk about bandwidth in a minute, and let's start talking about laptops. So Wi-Fi availability, how do I use my laptop, right? I can hotspot off my phone, sure, but, you know, oftentimes.
Be careful data.
Well, right. I mean, you know, keep a couple things in mind. The phone is a tuned environment. So everything that comes across your phone, and we see this, I see this in application development all the time. There is an emphasis on lowering the size of data packages that go to apps. That means that the app requires less data to be delivered. So it doesn't use as much of your cellular data, and it's just easier and faster all the way around.
I like that.
Well, that's how they're built. I mean, the phone is a different I don't need a giant image on a tiny screen. It's not going to help me. So, you know, all of that is why the phone experience can be so robust in such a low bandwidth environment. When you get onto a large scale screen, you get onto a laptop, it's different. So we're kind of looking at a different environment here, right? So hotspots are good. There are specific devices that you can use with them. I know, you know, Verizon and AT&T both have them. Things like Jetpack or Nighthawk, or there's a whole bunch of names for those things, which is great. The reality of those, though, is that they have kind of a varied, and they have a varied sort of review on how people feel about them and how they work. There are independent companies that have those as well. They are generally not well rated. There's varied experience. I've had a few of these devices. I've not had one yet that I would recommend. I don't think that that's a, I think if you ask 9 out of 10 people if they like their cell provider, 9 out of 10 are going to tell you that they don't, and one is probably going to give you a meh. So I think that that's a tough game all the way around, and there are a lot of variables in making that stuff work. So it's not necessarily against them. I don't necessarily know that with all the technology we have, we're really at that point yet.
Yeah, hopefully that'll improve as time goes on.
Well, and this is, you know, this is some of the new services that we see coming out as well. So that, I think that will improve over time. For what it's worth, where we are now, we very much still use wired connections for the larger component of it. So even if it's Wi-Fi. So if we look at that from the standpoint of what do we need to be able to operate, think about your Airbnb or your hostel or hotel or wherever you stay. Make sure it has Wi-Fi and ask what the connection speed is.
Well, that's a really good point, because typically if we're gone for longer periods of time, we stay at Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. And I always make sure that the Airbnb has Wi-Fi.
Correct. So ask what the connectivity is. The connectivity of broadband is measured in the amount of data that can be transferred from one point to another in a specific period of time. Now, typically, it's expressed in bit rate and measured in the thousand of bits per second. So the calculation is called megabits. So here's kind of a guide, right? So smaller content, less data, great. But, you know, if your connection is less than 10 megabit, that is a very slow connection by today's standard. Very, very slow connection. If it's over 100 megabit, that is fast. That's a very fast connection. I look for 20 megabit or above. And okay. So that's kind of the line that I draw. Now,
I have a question about that. So you have this fast connection.
Right.
But what if I'm staying at a hotel that has 100 rooms?
Right.
Versus an Airbnb that's just me in this whole house.
So now let's put a little context around this, because now we're back to kind of the airport problem, right? So if 100 people in the hotel are sharing a 100 megabit connection, it is no longer fast. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is, if you're on those large connections, you're at a hotel, you're at something like that, remember that you're sharing with a lot of people and you're sharing with them on a local network. That is far less secure. Don't do your banking that way. If you need to do your banking, do it on mobile and go back to your cellular connection. At least you have a one-to-one interface at that point. So to kind of put it together, right, like you think about that 100 megabit connection. Let's say you're staying in a hostel and 40 people are staying there. 100 megabit, great. At 9 a.m. when all the kids are asleep, you're going to have an absolutely great connection. But at 6 p.m. when everyone's trying to post their Instagram posts, your connection is going to be low. So it is going to be divided by the number of people that are staying there.
So that's, right. So think about that and the time you are going to need to work and when you're going to have calls or meetings. Can you give us like an idea of, you throw out these numbers, but like if I was going to, I don't know, stream something on Netflix, how much of a connection would I need?
So Netflix has an interesting guide. They say that you need a 5 megabit connection to watch regular high def video that we see now.
Okay.
So if 4 people want to watch video simultaneously, that's 20 megabit that's taken up right off the bat.
They've just sucked up 20.
Exactly. Okay. If you're going to watch a 4K video, that's 15 megabit. So just to kind of put in perspective of what that looks like.
That's nice. Now, another thing that you and I both struggled with as we travel are time zones.
Yes.
And that sounds like the simplest thing to handle. But for example, we're in MST time zone here now, and where we were at was 8 hours ahead. So sometimes we would put things in our calendar, we'd schedule calls, and they would still go wonky and get messed up. So can you talk a little bit about how we've learned how to manage our time zones to make sure we make those calls when we're supposed to?
So I use a two-pronged approach to make this happen. So in the Apple calendar, and then it syncs to your iCloud and it syncs to your phone and all of those things. If you go into your calendar preferences, advanced, there is a checkbox for turn on time zone support. Turn that on. Once you turn that on, what it will do is convert all your existing entries to your current time zone that you're in. So turn it on when you're at home. That's important for the first time you turn it on. Once you have it there, when you look at the calendar itself, top center right of the screen will be a drop-down for the time zone. And so you'll see your present time zone, and if you have another one that you're going to be in, you can just add to it. From there, anytime that you add an event, you have the ability to set the time zone for that event. So what that will do is that will enable time zones within your calendar environment universally. That then carries to the phone. Now, a couple things to be done in the phone. First, general date and time, time zone, there's a switch for automatic. Just turn automatic on. What this does is it automatically makes adjustments in your calendar based on which time zone the phone is in. And the phone knows where it is from GPS location, so it determines its own time zone. So that will start managing it by itself. Then, anytime that you set up an event on your phone, remember that the phone will always set up the event in the time zone the phone is currently in. So right now, if you pick up your phone, add the plus sign, hit the plus sign, and add a calendar event, you're setting it up on Mountain Time. All right. The last thing that I usually do is, you know, time zones aren't that difficult, and it's easy to do the math on them. But the reality is, given daylight savings time and given where you are on the globe, daylight savings time can be 30, 45, or 60-minute adjustments. It can literally be 45 minutes different than it is right now, given daylight savings time.
Sometimes I don't even know how we function globally with all these odd time zones. Indiana, thank goodness for technology.
Indiana and Arizona don't use them.
Right.
So they're even
in our own country.
Even state by state in the U.S. So what I'll commonly do is in my clock application, in the world clock, set up your hometown, whatever the time is, and set up the location of the cities that you're going to be in. And of course, I think you can leave the first one at whatever city it thinks it's in as well to give you that time. But that way you have visually right in front of you exactly what it is. And that's done programmatically. That'll be correct over time.
No, I like that. Or I like it too, especially if you maybe have a main employer or main client or something that's in a different time zone. Just have that set up so you know what time they're at all.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think overall, the concentration is really on establishing two data connections when you travel. So first and foremost, get a SIM for your phone, get your phone hooked up. You want that data with you. You want to have data with you. Having data with you allows you to have, of course, the internet, which is invaluable when we travel. But one of the things that we find super important about having that data connection is maps. So enable those maps, enable that SIM card on your phone. That's one. And then the second thing is to do that secondary level of where you stay to make sure that it has Wi-Fi. So now you have kind of the day-to-day usage of that sort of prominent data and the things that you use from just an application perspective while operating, and then you have Wi-Fi as the backup for higher bandwidth, entertainment, social media, all of those things that layer in.
Mm-hmm. Great. I think this is very helpful.
I hope so.
Now we're just going to have to plan our next trip.
Fantastic.
So also to any of the listeners, if you have any additional questions about working remotely, whether they're technology-based questions or anything else, I think we have done this many, many times now. We've kind of worked out a lot of the kinks. So please go ahead and shoot me a DM on Instagram or send me an email, and we'll cover them most likely in an Instagram post or on a future podcast episode. So thanks a lot for joining.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers and Tech, or email info@numbersandtech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.